Alright guys, welcome back to another episode of
No More
Podcast. You may be wondering, why do I have this tone?
I was just gonna say, why are you talking like that?
Because I am
fed up
with my son here named Finnegan. It sounds terrible if this is like your first episode. I have a dog, and also Bailey has a dog named Ash. They're best friends. But this evening, they are choosing violence, not
against
Bucky, the toy. You know, they're just fighting over this toy, and I try to tell this one story, and I couldn't get through with it because these two just kept running around like it was a NASCAR speed park. Finnegan was barking so loud that they could hear it all the way over in Sweden. Ash was whining as if I'm hurt, but in reality, she was just mad because Finnegan was beating her at tug-of-war. So we had to do this all over again. Yep. So,
Round two.
Wish me luck, guys.
What are we talking about again?
What we're talking about this evening, guys, is, wait for it, spontaneous human combustion.
Woo!
I know. So great. Now, guys, keep in mind, this is the first episode I actually sat down and actually wrote down because I finally had time to do an episode. And you would think the person who's talked about Tennessee a lot, the one who talks about Baja Blast a lot, talks about corgis a lot even, you would think, all right, she's going to talk about an episode of that.
You're wrong.
You are absolutely wrong. Because here's the thing, when trying to figure out what to do an episode on, I couldn't think of a subject. Well, that is until I remembered an article I had read a while ago about a case of spontaneous human combustion. I know, it just sounds very morbid, but I just couldn't help but wonder, how does it happen? So I'm taking you guys down the rabbit hole with me, whether you like it or not.
It could probably honestly be multiple episodes.
It probably could be multiple episodes.
Because we can go back even further.
I know. Spoilers.
Sorry.
Now, starting with the article that started it all, from the Irish Central of November 14th of 2011. Yes, I remembered an article that I read back in 2011.
Was it hard finding it?
No, actually.
You look up old article, human combustion.
No, you want to know what I wrote down?
What did you write down?
Spontaneous human combustion article. First one that showed up.
Damn. Impressive.
I know. But no, it's like one of those things. Like, keep in mind, guys, when I first found this article, I was 10 years old. Think about that. And it's,
how old are you now?
Because I look at the year, and I just got to subtract the year by one, and I remember what
your age was.
My age is, yeah.
What's fun my facts. Age again? My age again.
Looks at year. Goes, oh, okay. This is a year.
I can just look at the year. Born in 2000. Haha.
Heck yeah. But no. Anyways. Just tells you how long this thing has really plagued my brain.
A good while.
A very good while. And of course, the title is The Second Case of Spontaneous Combustion This Year.
Second.
Which seems a lot more than expected. So, one, there's been more than one, which makes the question, where's the first article for this? Or do they just brush it away? These guys are starting it again.
Headbanging with the store.
Oh my god. But anyways.
Just ignore. I'll keep them quiet.
Nah, you're good. But it was just also one of those things too, like, again, that's more than one. So where's the first article? And two,
oh, that's a good point.
For this year? Which means there's multiple throughout the year. But I look back and it's like the first one I showed up. Weird. Anyways. Now, how this whole article started was based on a 50-year-old mother of three who had died in an unusual confined blaze. Elizabeth McLaughlin.
Elizabeth!
I know.
I'm glad to see you're still living.
I know. Anyway, I was gonna make a bad joke, but like, no. Basically,
I dropped something. Don't worry about that.
Oh, no. Baze. Her body was actually identified by her dental remains. Now, the coroner court heard her partner, Henry Matterson, or Masterson, excuse me.
Matterson. Henry Matterson.
Told the inquest, it seems to me that it was spontaneous human combustion, which I know is unusual. It was just terrible. I would not wish it on anyone, which is so weird to say. Just saying. The Irish police were so perplexed by McLaughlin's death on December 22nd in Cardinal, County Donegal. During the inquest, Sergeant John McLaughlin said, "Inside the sitting room, on the floor, were the charred remains of the person. The weirdest aspect was that the actual burning and fire damage was confined to the human remains on the floor in the immediate vicinity."
Say vicinity again.
Vicinity?
Vicinity. Now I can't even... Never mind.
You're welcome.
Gotcha.
My dumbassery, it's spreading. Now, the victim's nephew, Kevin Loftus, he was the first on the scene. He said there were three dead cats in the house, and he also smelled...
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, there was literally three dead cats in the house.
Oh, my God.
But it gets even worse.
Oh, great.
He was... he also smelled the smoke when he entered the house.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh. Well, I mean, okay, smoke does make a distinct smell, but...
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which is so sad, because then you think about it, if he smelled the smoke, the cats probably passed because of the smoke.
Aww.
Yeah.
Oh. He smelled the smelly smell.
Yeah. But that being said, according to the Evening Herald, he said, "I saw what I thought was a burning Christmas tree lying on the sitting room floor. Dolores, McLaughlin's niece, identified her clothes and Loftus explained how she said, 'There is her shoe.' It was then I realized it was a leg. I could not believe what I was seeing." According to the deputy state pathologist, Dr. Michael Curtis conducted the autopsy on McLaughlin. He told the Irish Times, "There was a high level of cyanide in the bloodstream and carbon monoxide in the atmosphere," which is not normally there. Can we just say how he said that, too? It was like, that's not normally
there. That's not, you know, for most of the time, that's not there. 90%
of the time. This is so weird. But anyways, and he also said there was no antemortem damage. He also claimed death was caused by fire. No shit. There was talk of spontaneous human combustion at the time. I did see the remains. It did come to mind. I believe the clothes acted like a wick on a candle. Just months prior to this event, the Irish coroner ruled that Michael F., I cannot say his last name without laughing because it looks like it says farty and I'm a 12-year-old boy sometimes. Yeah. Basically, Michael F., he was 76 years old in Galway and also died due to this phenomenon. Fire officers said they did not deliver that fire in his home was caused by the fireplace as his body was the only thing in the room that was damaged. Which still brings a question. What could cause the phenomenon? Well, guys, I found another article on Britannica.com. Now, this actually talks about an early example of spontaneous human combustion, as well as some scientific reasonings behind it. Late at night, on Christmas Eve of 1885, which is a very long time ago.
Yeah, hold on. 1885?
Yeah.
That's a little over 200 years. That's almost 200 years.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. Now,
161 years short.
That's a long time.
Dang, Bobby.
God dang it, Bobby.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Of course, this event happened in a small farming town of Seneca,
Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. A woman by the name of Matilda Rooney bursted into flames. She was alone in her kitchen when it happened, and the fire quickly incinerated her entire body except her feet. The incident also claimed the life of her husband, Patrick, who was found suffocated from the fumes in another room of the house. Hence why I believe the cats have passed away the way that Patrick
smoke
did.
Smoke inhalation. And yeah. The fumes probably, especially if it has cyanide in it.
Yeah.
But imagine the smell, how smell that bad, how bad it would be.
Yeah. Which, what I'm about to tell you, too, I kind of want to believe that he was probably, like, asleep, like, taking a nap when this happened. So if he had woken up, it would have been way too late for him.
Yeah. Also, how do you put someone out if they're burning internally?
True.
And also, if it happened, it seems like it happens really fast.
Yeah. Just drink more water.
Just drink a gallon of water real fast.
Yeah. Anyways, I don't know how to make that noise again. God. But, no, it appeared that the Roonies had fallen victim to the rare and
enigmatic. Enigmatic. Go on.
Mystematic phenomenon of spontaneous human combustion. Now, this combustion is a mystery. Jesus Christ. Mystery with an impressive literary degree. Herman Melville and Nicolai Gogol used it to dispatch characters in their novels Redburn and Dead Souls. But the most notorious case in fiction is Black House by Charles Dickens. Good Lord.
Wait, the Charles Dickens?
Yes, the Charles Dickens.
And the other dude was Moby Dick Rider.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The more you know.
The morbid you know. That was bad.
Knee slapper. Yeah. Sorry, I'll shut up.
That was so weird.
Yeah, that was terrible. But yeah. So Charles Dickens made a character where the sleazy alcoholic junk merchant by the name of Mr. Crook, which is a perfect name.
Yeah.
Ends up as a heap of ashes on the floor and a dark, greasy coating on the walls and ceiling.
He basically, it's not the right word for it, but like, became juice on the walls.
Pretty much.
That's disgusting.
I almost want to imagine it like, almost like decomposition mold that you find in houses. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's how.
But like, more liquidly.
Yeah, just more sludgy.
Ew.
Now, in the preface to the book edition of Black House, written after the novel had already been published in serial form, Dickens defended his use of spontaneous combustion against accusations of implausibility, citing several famous cases and the judgments of eminent medical doctors that such a thing was indeed possible. I shall not abandon the facts, he concludes with typical Dickensian panache,
until... Whoa, that's a big word.
That's a big word for Elmo. Yeah.
That's a big word for Lizzie.
Yeah. Until there shall have been a considerable spontaneous combustion of the testimony on which human occurrences are usually received.
They want someone to survive spontaneous human combustion and be like, I survived it. They're like, okay, we believe you.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't.
The eat a fire extinguisher really fast.
Oh, God. If the fires don't...
Blow it in your stomach.
If the fire doesn't kill you, the toxics will.
But how would you... Yeah, 1,000 ways to die. I almost died by spontaneous human combusting, but then I ate a fire extinguisher, and I died by that.
Yeah.
Cancel out.
You're right. What if it does cancel out, though?
I lived two things.
God, that'd be terrifying. But, yeah. So, the descriptions of spontaneous human combustion. Believe it or not, guys, it actually dates all the way back to the 17th century, which is very crazy.
I'm about
to
look it up. What is the 17th century, like, the dates? And for 17,
I guess the 16, the
1601 begins. Okay. 1601.
Yeah,
I don't get why that happens, but whatever.
Yeah. Now, with a large number of cases, recorded in the 19th century and a handful in the 20th and 21st century, which makes you think. Why was it so prominent back then?
Why is it dwindling?
And then it's now dwindling.
What if it's something to do with the medicine? Like the medicine we take today?
Yeah.
Like, what if it, like, counter-affects it?
Yeah.
And people who spontaneously combust are just, like, mutations. Like the flu, like, how you get... Like, you can get the flu shot, but you still can get the flu.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of like it would show up, like, again, spontaneously. Like, what if it's, like... Back then is like our version of a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, but you're like internally on fire.
Yeah.
And you don't know it until it's too late.
Right.
I mean, because our body, I mean, does make electricity, so maybe it, like, has a, like, the wires broken, and it just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's hard to think about. It's interesting to think about, but it hurts the head.
Yeah. Calm down. Bailey, calm down.
I'm a spontaneous combust.
No,
that's,
don't.
That's why they think about it, and then they explode, because they're thinking too hard.
Damn. The dots, they're connecting. All together.
The matches are being lit.
Not a lit situation.
Be quiet. Okay. I'm so bad.
Okay. Okay. So, anyways, where did I leave off? There I am. Altogether, there are a few hundred recorded possible cases. Although this specific support for spontaneous human combustion was weaker than Dickens stated, it was a widely discussed phenomenon in his time. The public largely accepted it as a reality on moral grounds. The victims were often alcoholic and overweight, and more were female than male.
So they just thought, yeah, it's what's coming to them?
I guess.
What they get?
Yeah. It's so weird.
That's rough.
People were more metal back then. It's really sad.
Yeah.
So there was...
They were more metal. It's sad. They were really metal back then. It was sad.
Yeah. I did my time, and I want to...
As spontaneous the human combustion. Are you ready to spontaneously human combust? Let me see the effing pit!
Open up the pit! He's spontaneous combustion!
Oh! Yeah, don't fool them! Okay,
anyways.
That's enough of that.
So, there was a general perception of Jesus. A general perception that it was a kind of retribution for a debauched lifestyle.
Yeah, so kind of you get what you get.
Yeah.
That's sad.
That's really annoying, really. This idea was reinforced by lurid newspaper accounts of suspected cases. If it made intuitive sense, after all, that a body saturated with a flammable substance, alcohol, would become flammable. Now, for the real for the real question... Is spontaneous human combustion real? According to most scientific research, most certainly, no.
Ew.
I know, such a letdown. None of the proposed scientific explanations for how a body would spontaneously burst into flames have held up to scrutiny. Some of the early proposed mechanisms rely on outdated medical ideas, such as...
Well, that makes sense for our idea.
Yeah.
So, like, it still could be plausible, it just... Whatever, continue.
Yeah. Now, such as the notion that an ignition could be the result of an imbalance of the bodily humors. Victorian explanation that alcohol rendered the body flammable doesn't work either, saying that the concentrations of alcohol in even the most intoxicated people are much too slow and that an external source of ignition would be required. In the 20th century, forensic scientists noticed the quote-unquote wick effect, in which clothing worn by a victim can soak up melted fat, acting like the wick of a candle and creating conditions for a body to smolder for an extended period of time. Experiments have shown that this effect can produce many of the unusual characteristics associated with spontaneous human combustion, such as the complete for nearly complete incineration of the body and the lack of the fine damage to the victim's surroundings. The likely explanation for suspected cases of spontaneous human combustion, then, is that there is an external source of ignition, such as a match, cigarettes, an electric spark, or like things that set off the wick effect, but the evidence of it is destroyed by the fire. Although alcohol doesn't make the body more flammable, severe inebriation or other forms of impairment may be unable to react to a slowly developing fire. Which makes sense. Now, there are a lot more cases we can talk about, but that would be a totally much longer of an episode now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that was just two cases.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
And depending on how many there is, that can be a lot more.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess it makes sense, but also it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said then, too, is, like, you know, if you're very, very intoxicated.
Like, beyond drunk.
Yeah. And, like, you know, like, you're smoking a cigarette and, like, a piece of lit ash lands on your, like, wool sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you're not realizing it until, like, too late.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
On your celluloid sweater?
Oh, no. Because so that's another thing, too, is, which...
What if they were just around celluloid?
Makes sense. But then again, if they were around celluloid,
other things
would have burned. Mm. But that's another thing, too, is that, because as I mentioned, there is the case that happened in Illinois. Yeah, so, like, the farmhand that they, you know, he was with them. I didn't kind of add this to the paper because I kind of forgot, but it was in the article. Basically, he was talking about how he actually celebrated Christmas Eve with them and had, like, a couple rounds of whiskey with them. And then he kind of, like, went to his little living area, like, outside of the home. And all they can kind of figure is, like, again, if it was the case, like, they were...
Too drunk.
Like, the husband could have been, like, resting mm-hmm. or whatever. And the wife was probably doing something that had to do, like, with a match. Like, either a candle or, like...
Something flammable.
Something flammable.
And it just kind of, like, caught onto his jacket as he left.
Or on her.
Oh, on her, yeah.
Because it was her that burned. Oh, yeah, the husband, he just died of inhalation.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was only the farmhand that was like, yeah, there was no, like,
bad blood. That's what I was confused about.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, because he left, and I think it was the case he noticed something was wrong, or it was, like, the next day, and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Like, shit, you haven't been fed.
Yeah. Well, no, that was, like, his job. That was the thing.
The lights are still on.
Yeah. Because I think it was the case that they were closed. They were just like, oh, that's my friend, you know, he's just helping out and stuff, you know.
The windows aren't open or something.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a very interesting case, and it really makes you think.
Yeah. It's a very lit of a case.
Boo. It was a good one, but it was... That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say?
No, I think that was pretty much it.
Okay. Well, listen to us wherever you can listen to us. We appreciate reviews because it gets our name out there. And actually, if you've listened to this, just give us a review. Just say, like, give us a thumbs up or a smiley face and a comment or just a general review. That way, this podcast can be shared to other people because right now we're at zero and it just kinda doesn't
sad.
Branch out.
No,
yeah.
I'm joking.
It's okay. We don't have a lot of listeners, but we appreciate y'all.
Yeah.
We really do. Even if, like, half of them are family and friends, we appreciate y'all.
Yeah. No, I'm just taking the piss. You're good.
Yeah. So, we really just appreciate it, and especially just knows that what we're doing is going to something, and it's not just us ranting, which we do enjoy, but having people enjoy it is fun, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, thank you so much for listening. Leave a good review, a comment, a like, a follow on Instagram, Facebook. We're going to post photos of, not of the spontaneous combustion, but, like, maybe of the case files or something, area, whatever I can find, little clip art or something. But, thank you so much for listening.
What if the clip art is just the gif of Miss Doubtfire when she was cooking and the breasts catch fire?
That's it. She was spontaneously human combusting.
Yeah.
Spontaneously
first
Doubtfire.
First day of a woman.
Doubtfire.
Right. Sorry.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Doubtfire combustion. The spike in the audio.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for so much for listening. And don't forget to tip your tour guide, because if you don't, you might... It's too on the nose to say you might spontaneously combust.
Yeah.
Your neighbor might notice you're gone.
Oh, that sounds like a threat. Girl.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Girl. You can come up with one.
Girl. No, anyways. Just make sure you tip your tour guides, because if you don't, well, you don't know. Maybe they're having a lit tour. You never know.
Maybe they're not having a lit day.
Yeah.
And you can make their day. Someone tipped me today and made my day.
You want to hear something really sad? And this is a bit of this is a bit of trauma dump, but it's okay. We already talked about spontaneous human combustion. You guys can take it.
Yeah, this is nothing.
So yesterday actually was my the 7-year anniversary since my dad passed.
Oh no!
And I gave a tour, and I had very few people, and they were so uninterested with what I had to say.
Did you just drop the bomb on them?
No, I should have. Because I only got, like, tipped, like, by one person. And I was like, it wasn't until I was riding back to the office, I was like, I could have dropped that bomb.
I could have guilt tripped them really
bad.
Yeah,
so, you know.
How would you support that? Give me your best wording of how you would say that.
Yeah, I'd be like, guys, I'm sorry if I did seem off. It's a bit of a rough time for me, you know. Today makes it the 7-year anniversary since my dad died.
Oh, I would tip. Oh my god, my heart. Yeah.
No, and it's like, that's not usually why I do tours either. I actually just legitimately enjoy it. But yeah. It was so depressing. An off day. It was such an off day. So, you know, guys, you never know when your guy's having an off day. So, you know.
Their day, you can make their day so much better if you tip them.
Yeah.
And we're not just saying that because we're sentimental right now, but there's also, you can light their day up.
Yeah, because, I mean, sometimes you never know how much,
okay.
You just never know what someone's going through. Like, sometimes that can help them pay for groceries, and that helps me out a lot.
And then when you do it, you'll be thinking, hey, I listen to no more podcasts. I listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye. Bye.